Okay, there is a, let's get started, and welcome everybody to the shiur. This shiur, thank you. This shiur is very important to me, because this is for a very close friend of mine, for Avram Yaakov ben Sarabasya. So I think they're trying to get a series of shiurim going for people to listen to over the course of these two weeks. And sorry, I can't see my face so well when I put that light on, but I can't read without it. So hopefully this shiur should be for a refuah shleima for Avraham Yaakov ben Sarabasya. And Mirtz Hashem, next year he should give this shiur, you know, for us. Okay, I have some thoughts about tonight. Tonight is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And tonight is a very significant night in terms of the Jewish calendar, and I thought I would speak a little bit about it, you know, in terms of what it means to us and what it means to everybody and what we can mechazik ourselves in this particular juncture of time in world history, which in my life is unprecedented. You know, I just got a cute little WhatsApp meme that people seem to be sending. I guess people have a lot of time on their hands. So somebody sent me a guy banging on a shtender saying, Yalla v'yavo. Reminding us, you know, tonight is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is a very auspicious night. It's a very big night. We say in the Haggadah, Yachol Me Rosh Chodesh. It could be that you start telling the story of the Haggadah from Rosh Chodesh Nisan and not from Pesach. That is a Hava Mina of the Gemara. That is an initial understanding of the Haggadah that perhaps the story should start to be told tonight already, and that there's a special fulfillment in the requirement of the mitzvah of Pesach if we begin already on tonight. Now, there's a term in football that's used, which is offsides. That one is offsides if they in fact start the story of Pesach prior to the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah that should be said. There's a mitzvah that we do with the Seder. If you eat matzah today, you get no credit. That's offsides. It's before. It's, you know, you're jumping over the line before the play started. So now also, if one would start telling the story of Pesach, Yachol Mirosh Chodesh, you tell the story of the Seder tonight, it's very hard for us to understand what would the fulfillment be. So that is question number one we'll begin with tonight. Secondly, I love Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the first night of the year. It's you dip your apple in your honey, and everybody talks. It's the beginning of the new year. It's going to be an amazing year in Rosh Hashanah. We have all these Torahs, Mereshis Hashanah, Arach Hashanah, from the beginning of the year till end of year. And all we talk about Rosh Hashanah is starting the year off with a bang. But if you look in the Chumash, Rosh Hashanah is known as the seventh month. Because the first month is not Rosh Hashanah, but rather the first month is that of Nisan. It's what we're celebrating tonight. Tonight is Rosh Hashanah. We should be in shul with our kittels, maybe davening for tshuva and starting the year tonight. That's what Rosh Hashanah is. It's, if you look in the Torah, when it describes Pesach, it says Michodesh Arishon, from the beginning of the first month. So why is Rosh Hashanah the beginning of the year, the seventh month, and Pesach the first month? How do we reconcile those two? That's question number two. And question number three that I'm going to begin with is the first Rashi in Chumash. The first Rashi in Chumash is, you know, everybody talks about it. It's a famous Rashi. The Gemara, the Rashi asks, why do we start from Sefer Bereishis? Why do we start from Sefer Bereishis? Instead, we should have started from Achodesh Hazeh Lachem. It should start from this mitzvah of the night, the celebration, the idea of Mikadesh, of sanctifying the new moon on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And yet, instead, it starts from Bereishis, Bar Elokim Es HaShemayim V'Yas HaAretz. And Rashi there gives an answer. The reason why we started Bereishis Bar Elokim Es HaShemayim V'Yas HaAretz is to tell us that the Jews always and have the full-fledged rights to Eretz Yisrael. And that's what the Jews have. As a matter of fact, the Lubavitcher Rebbe famously told Prime Minister Netanyahu, before he was the Prime Minister, that in front of the United Nations he shouldn't say anything except for the first Rashi in Chumash. But what's interesting about the Rashi is that Rashi suggests if it wasn't for the beginning of Bereishis, the most logical place to start the Torah was from HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem. This month belongs to you, namely from the import of the mitzvah of sanctifying Rosh Chodesh, and in particular Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And this should have been the first mitzvah given. And if it wasn't for the fact of Eretz Yisrael showing that we need to show that we are really in charge of Eretz Yisrael, then in fact it should have started from this week, from this night, and detailing the historical events that began on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So what is so significant about Rosh Chodesh Nisan? I'm going to try something. I'm going to share a screen here with you. We got the Zoom. So if you look at the share screen, I'm going to read to you a Gemara. It's not a hard Gemara, it's just a story. So we're going to read the story together. And this is a story about a Gemara in Shabbos that what happens on to a particular individual who went to a very chosh of a city. But when he went there, what happened? Let's see. So it begins with Rabbi Chelbo. So I'm Rabbi Chelbo, Chamra de Pruganisa, Umaya de Dumsis, the wine of Prugisa and the water of Dumusis, Kibchu Aseris Hashvatim Yisrael. They caused 10 tribes of Klal Yisrael to go off the derech, so to speak. Somehow. We'll see in a moment how. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch arrives to this town. It's a big town, the Chacham Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, a big ayin. Everybody held of him. Ikla lahasim. He went there, and Imshach Basrayu. He got sucked into the vortex of that delicious wine and that unbelievable bathhouses that they had. Iakir Talmudei. He forgot all of his learning. What? How could it be? Because he went there, he forgot all of his learning. So what happens next? Kihadar asa kam lemikre besifra. He finishes, he wants to go back to being a Talmud Chochim, wants to go back and read his Sfarim. What happened? Boy lemikre, he wanted to read the following three words. Hachodesh hazeh lachem. He wanted to read the words, Hachodesh hazeh lachem, which is the mitzvah of sanctifying the new moon. Hachodesh hazeh lachem. In particular, we're talking about Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But instead of saying the words Hachodesh Hazeh Lachem, Omer, Hacheresh Hayalibam, their hearts became like stone. Meaning, the Dalit in Hachodesh became Hacheresh, the deaf, the Hazeh switched to Hayah, and the Lachem became Libam. He totally butchered and read the words improperly. So what happened next? Bo Rabban Rachmi Aleha. So the rabbis, they daven for him. And what happened next? So then, v'hadr Talmudei. And then, he began to be able to learn again. Very strange Gemara. Here he is, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, who spent his entire life sitting in Steigen and learning and becoming great and learning. So he has a little couple of wines. He has some wine and he bathes himself a little bit. He adorns himself. And all of a sudden, he forgets all of his learning. It's a very strange Gemara. And we have to understand, and secondly, why in particular is the Gemara focused on the mispronunciation of Achodesh HaZelechem from Acheresh HaYalibam? Why those three words, going back to Achodesh HaZelechem, why is this so significant? And the Marsha, who's a commentary on most of the Agadah in Shas, the Marsha comments and says, Kan Hizkel Lefi Shehi Mitzvah Rishona B'Torah. Once again, the Marsha is highlighting that in specifically uses the pasuk of Achodesh Hazeh Lachem, not as anything coincidental, but merely it is significant because it is the first mitzvah in the Torah. Just like I told you in the Rashi, in the first Rashi. So specifically, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch did not know how to read the words Achodesh Hazeh Lachem because it is the mitzvah Rishona, it's the first mitzvah. What is the Marsha adding here? That his heart became stone when he was supposed to read Hachodesh Hazeh Lachem. So what is it? So Rabbi Yerucham Olshin explains in the following fashion, in a very, very beautiful way, just like Rabbi Yerucham Olshin can, in his beautiful sefer, the Yerech LeMoadim, the Rosh Hashiv of Lakewood, and he has some beautiful Torahs on all the Yom Doroim, on all the Yom Tovim, and he says this specifically vis-a-vis last week's parasha by Parashas Hachodesh. He gives the following idea. The Sforno comments on the pasuk Vayishamen Yeshurun Vayivayet, right? Shemanas Avis, that Klal Yisrael, when they search after, specifically when they become fat, Vayishamen, when they go after the tanugim, the delicacies, the pleasures of this world, then avisa, then they forget mehavin dakos emes. They don't have the ability to understand the subtleties of chachma in the world. Meaning, when we align ourselves in a physical way with gashmius, with this worldly items, it puts us back into this world, which means we don't remove ourselves, so to speak, from spiritual activities. This will lessen our ability to connect to the spiritual realm. So Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, he goes to this Geshmak town, he goes to the town of Prugisa and Dimusis, and he imbibes and he indulges in all of the physical pleasures of those particular towns, which is nothing necessarily wrong with. But when you become orangutan in physical pleasures, one loses their sensitivities to spiritual concepts. And therefore, when he came back to learn from Achodesh HaZelachem, it doesn't come out as Achodesh HaZelachem, rather it comes out as Acheresh HaLibam. But why specifically in those words of Achodesh HaZelachem? Why in that area? Is that the area forgot? Says an unbelievable vort. And this is where Yerucham really takes it to the next level. Where is the time that Klal Yisrael changed our very nature? Klal Yisrael at one point was a nation like all the other nations. Klal Yisrael did not have any specific and special significance until one moment in history. Where was that moment in history when that first mitzvah was given? It's the time of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, right 2 weeks prior to them leaving Mitzrayim. At that particular moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you are not like all the other nations, but rather you're my nation. And what does it mean to be the special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It means that all the other nations of the world operate on a physical relationship with Hashem, and they go after Teva, after nature, and the way nature is supposed to be, that's the way it's going to continue. But Klal Yisrael, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it's established that we're going to have a special relationship which is called Al HaTeva, which is above the natural forces, which we don't react anymore in a very natural way. Nothing happens for us in a natural way. Everything goes beyond HaTeva. It's way above the natural way. Things don't happen to us normally. I had the schus of being in Eretz Yisrael for the Gulf War, 1991, January of 91. And I am telling you, anybody who lived through that particular time knew it was not normal what was happening. You know, they shot 39 Scud missiles directly into Eretz Yisrael to populate areas, and nobody died. Everybody says maybe there was one person who died, and of course we made that person into the biggest Russia ever. Either he was the guy who sold pigs, or he was the guy this, whatever it was. But Klal Yisrael does not work in a natural way. Our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is in a way that there are constantly miraculous events happening for us. We just have to open our eyes to be able to see them. That's what it's all about. Where did that relationship happen? That relationship happened specifically on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's where that new creation happened. That new relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why in the Agadah specifically, it says, HaCheresh HaYalibam as opposed to HaChodesh HaZelachem, because it was at that particular Pasuk in which he butchered, because that's when we saw that we have to maintain that spiritual relationship with Hashem. And the second we have a physical relationship with this world, we lose on some level our spiritual relationship, and we can't read the Torah that way they're supposed to. So instead of reading HaChodesh HaZelachem, he reads HaCheresh HaYalibam. We'll talk more about this at the end. So now we can begin and understand all of these questions that we began with. We say in the Haggadah, Yachol Mei Rosh Chodesh, perhaps we should start already on Rosh Chodesh. Perhaps starting to tell the story of the Haggadah all the way tonight. Because you know what tonight is? Yes, tonight we didn't get taken out of Mitzrayim. But tonight is when the roots were formed. When that special relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was formed,
and he said, here's your first mitzvah. The first mitzvah signifying that we are a nation different than all the other nations. We have a special relationship which is above nature, which sets up all the miraculous events that were going to take place. To have the geula, to have that redemption. So therefore, Yochel Me'Rosh Chodesh makes a lot of sense. Because that's the formation of us as a nation. And why is tonight Nisan, Chodesh Nisan? Why is it the first month? Why do we celebrate Rosh Hashanah? So Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh Nisan are fundamentally different. Rosh Hashanah is the creation of the world, where Hashem created the world for everybody. But Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the first, because it's our wedding anniversary. Tonight is the Chasana. It's the wedding anniversary where Hashem declared that we're going to have a special relationship with Hashem, different than all the other nations. We're going to be above nature. They're going to work b'teva. There's an expression that we say, a Gemara in Shabbos, it says, Ein mazel li'Yisrael. There's no such thing as mazel for Klal Yisrael. What's mazel? Mazel, under normal circumstances, is the constellations. That all the other nations of the world, they work by the constellations. You can look at a constellation, you know, like one of those special necromancers. And it does work. If you look, you can see exactly what the future is going to be. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu, all the way back to Avraham Avinu, before we were a nation, we were just a bunch of individuals collected together, he says, no. Ein mazel Yisrael. Say mei sanicha neshecha. Leave your astrology. Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifts Avraham Avinu up and he takes him beyond the stars and he says, this doesn't apply to you because you could undo your default through tefillah, through Torah, through ma'isim tovim, Rashi says over there. That's what tonight is. And this is why it's the first mitzvah given. The first mitzvah specifically, and Rashi highlights this to us. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, it's the first mitzvah because it's the beginning of us having this new relationship where we are like the moon. What's the moon? The moon does shine a light. It does radiate light. If you look outside tonight, you're not going to see the moon because it's Rosh Chodesh. Actually, the Molad was Tuesday. But under normal circumstances, when you see the moon, you see the light of the moon. That's not the light of the moon. What that is, in fact, is the light of the sun radiating or shining off the moon, reflecting, if you will, off of the moon. Because the moon could only shine a light as powerful as the sun is. We begin that we are compared to that moon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compared to the sun. He shines that light on the moon, and we enable him to shine his light on us, but as much as we make ourselves into a vessel to be able to reflect his light. That's what the moon is. That's what we are. And that's what we have to make ourselves. And that's why it's the first mitzvah given. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. To remind us that we have to be that special light. This all began only for one reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu determined from the very beginning, says the Kuzari, from the very beginning of time, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has identified us as the special nation going all the way back to Avraham Avinu. Many of the Mefarshim ask, when it came to Avraham Avinu, we have a very interesting development. Lech Lecha begins, Avraham Avinu, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. When I was a writer in high school or whatever it was in college, and I would hand in an essay to a teacher, and I'd begin by telling the main character to take a journey, I'd get an F. You know why you get an F? There's no character development. Why was Avraham chosen? Why was he the one given the responsibility of leaving for Eretz Yisrael? What did Avraham Avinu do? We know from the storybooks that Avraham Avinu destroyed the idols of Terach, and we know that he was thrown into the Kivshan Eish, but those are only Midrashim. The Torah doesn't tell us that. The Torah begins, Lech Lecha. Says the Mefarshim, it's because it wants to enforce to us that Avraham Avinu was chosen for the special journey, not for anything he did. It's because it's Ahava She'ena Tluya B'davar. It's a love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for the Jewish people because he just loves us. He loves us because he loves us. And that's why Avraham Avinu was chosen, and that's why we're chosen even in Mitzrayim. He loves us because he loves us because of the very essence and the very core of who we are. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has always chosen us as the Am Nivchar, as the Kuzari says, as the Am Segula, I should say, because of the Inyan Elokim that we all have, each and every one of us has inside of us. And the night which he shone it on us specifically was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And I was thinking, the avodah of Rosh Chodesh Nisan this year is a little bit harder. It's a little bit harder because we're all stuck at home, and we can't join together with other people, and, you know, have minyanim, see friends. This year should be happening around somebody's table, so I can actually see your faces as opposed to your names, or see what kind of phones you have. This kind of share, you know, there should be some sort of gathering, and yet, in this Nisan, when we're trying to make ourselves into that receptacle of the moon as the Chodesh Hazalachem, to try to understand that we have that special relationship with Hashem, we're doing it over technology. And we're reflecting, almost going back into our homes. And I was thinking that there's something very powerful about that. And I want to share with you a thought that I had this week. And then end with a story. So this week, Baruch Hashem, I was zocha to marry off my son, my oldest son. We made a chasana on Sunday. You could put in the chats Mazel Tov. And it was very surreal because, you know, like everybody else, we planned to have a very beautiful chasana. You were all invited. I could say that now. And everybody was supposed to be there, all of his friends and v'chule v'chule. And instead, it was in the yeshiva's courtyard with 40 family members and a couple of other rebbes. And it was surreal. And I was thinking that there was such a simcha. And I want to add, why was it such a simcha? So, in this week's parasha, we're going to read in Vayikra that one could add only one type of spice to a korban. You can't add any spices except for salt. Salt. Why salt and no other spices? So Rav Gifter says something remarkable. Rav Gifter says that normally when you add spices, it changes the flavor of the carbon. For example, I love French fries, my favorite food. French fries and ketchup. So you dip the French fries into the ketchup, but a French fry with ketchup versus a French fry without ketchup is a very different type of food. The ketchup doesn't just enhance, it also changes the very flavor of the French fry. But you know what salt does? Salt goes into the very core of the carbon and it embellishes the taste that is already there. It takes that natural flavor that's inside and it draws it out. That's what salt does. So I was thinking at this chasana. Normally I have 450, 500 people at a chasana. We mamish had so few people, 50 people. It was so beautiful because it was like the salt in the korban. It made you focus on what was there, the true core inner part of the simcha, and yet to draw out from that simcha, from the event, the real simcha that was there. It was like putting salt into a korban. It was a remarkable experience, and it gave you a true simcha of what it was. You had to like put the salt in and draw it out, and like that was it. There was only brothers and sisters and parents and three grandparents were there, but you had to really draw it into the core simcha and extract it, much like salt into the carbon. And it made it a beautiful simcha, but you had to dig deep inside you to really feel that simcha. And I think that what is happening over these weeks is, you know, we are all struggling by being alone, but really, we took away all the trappings, all the spices of all the karbanos from outside of us, and we put the salt inside of us, and now we have to become besimcha as to who we really are. With ourselves. Rabbi Tversky tells the story, the psychologist from Milwaukee, now he's in Eretz Yisrael, he tells the story that one time he went somewhere and after half an hour he said to the person, I gotta go. He says, why? He says, I just don't want to be here. And then he figured out he wasn't happy with the person he was with. Who was he with? Himself. He wasn't besimcha by himself. These times make us appreciate that we're alone and we have to be besimcha by ourselves, that we have a real simcha. That we're a simcha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, that we have this unbelievable responsibility. Tonight, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has shown us that we are above natural events. We are well beyond that. We have this special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He engages us in a miraculous way. And we have to realize and dig deep within ourselves, in the privacy of our homes, to recognize what we really are. I'll end with a maisa. There was once somebody who was desperate. He wanted to see Eliyahu HaNavi. He wanted to mamish see who Eliyahu HaNavi was. So he went to his Rebbe, fill in the name of the blank of the Rebbe who he spoke with. And the Rebbe said, if you want to see Eliyahu HaNavi, go travel out there to this almana, this widow, who has a private place in a she has a private place in a barn, like in the middle of the woods. Go there for Rosh Hashanah, you'll see Eliyahu HaNavi. So he goes to this barn, but like a good Jew, you know, before he goes, he takes Seder L'derech, he takes some snacks with him, takes some food, because you never know. And he goes there for Rosh Hashanah, he goes to this barn. And when he gets there, he sees an almana and her two kids, and they are mamish, you know, yelling and screaming and complaining because they have no food, they're so poor. So the man who wanted to see HaNavi goes in, and he says, here, take some of my snacks. And he gives them snacks, and he spends Rosh Hashanah with them, waiting for Eliyahu HaNavi, and Eliyahu HaNavi doesn't come. So, okay, he leaves. He goes back to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe says, you made a mistake. I made a mistake. It's not Rosh Hashanah. You should go back for Yom Kippur. Okay, Yom Kippur. So he goes back for Yom Kippur. And this time he knows that these people are poor and they have no money and they're suffering. And he goes back for Yom Kippur. And before he goes there, he looks from the outside and he listens by the door. And he hears the kids. And the kids are saying, oh my gosh, I'm starving, Mom. I'm starving, Mom. And the mother says to the kids, let's just daven. Maybe Eliyahu HaNavi will come back just like Eliyahu HaNavi came for Rosh Hashanah. And then he understood that the Eliyahu HaNavi was with inside him the entire time. We all have an Eliyahu HaNavi inside of us. We all have something. As Nisan approaches and we get ready for the Seder, and we are cooped up in our homes, perhaps we're cooped up in our homes because we're supposed to add soul to our korban, to unlock some of the potential that's been inside us all the time, but we've been too busy paying attention to other people. And we have that Eliyahu HaNavi inside of us. And we have that ability to unlock it so that we could be able to have that special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu once again. We say, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. That's what tonight is. It's Lachem. You know who determines when Rosh Chodesh is? Yes, we look at it based on the moon and the sun, but ultimately it's Klal Yisrael. We determine, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. We pick when it is, because it's up to us. It's up to us. Hashem is saying, I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to shine my countenance all over you. But the question is, how much of a receptacle are we going to make ourselves? HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. Let's unleash that inner Eliyahu HaNavi inside of us and be able to greet Mashiach b'mheirav yameinu. Amen. All right. Thank you very much. Avram Yaakov ben Sarabasya should have a refuah shalema. Zay gesund.
Thank you.